Welcome to episode 9 of the pandemic preparedness course here at biodefense.com. My name is Mike Adams. Thank you for your support. As of today, we have surpassed 1 million unique visitors to the biodefense.com website. We have helped educate 1 million people, and we have earned absolutely $0 from selling this course because it is free. And so I'm very happy that we're able to help save lives, help empower people, help protect health, protect families, even protect nations, at the same time that we are telling the truth about Ebola. And today, man, I've got information here that will just completely blow your mind. This episode 9 is about the Ebola vaccine fraud. Now, to begin, though, because you might be skeptical, what do you mean vaccine fraud? What are you talking about? Well, to begin, we'll start with the BBC news story, which today reported that, guess what? Human clinical trials for the Ebola vaccine have begun. That's right. And the company behind it is GlaxoSmithKline, which we'll get into in a second. But you might be scratching your head thinking, hey, I thought it took a couple of years to go from a pandemic outbreak to research and development to human trials, which are supposed to take place after animal trials, which are supposed to take place after other kinds of safety tests. So normally this process takes quite an extended period of time. And as everybody knows, this is why flu vaccines always really only address last year's flu, not this year's flu. But astonishingly, amazingly, almost as if by magic, we have the spontaneous creation of Ebola vaccines suddenly leaping across any need for traditional R&D. There's no need for R&D. There's no need for animal studies. Not that I'm in favor of animal studies, but that's normally what the drug companies do. There's no need for the normal R&D process. No, this vaccine has spontaneously come into existence ready for human trials. And in fact, the BBC expressed astonishment at that, even saying normally it would take years of human trials before a completely new vaccine was approved for use. That's a quote right out of the BBC. But such is the urgency of the Ebola outbreak in West Africa that this experimental vaccine is being fast-tracked at an astonishing rate, they say. And yeah, I say it's astonishing because it's impossible. You can't fast-track a pregnancy and have a baby in 6 weeks just because you really, really want one. Just because the industry really, really wants an Ebola vaccine doesn't mean they can skip all the processes of R&D and safety testing, validation, and just leap to human trials. So how did they come up with this then? Well, the only logical, rational answer is that this has all been scripted, folks. They knew about it in advance. And they had this vaccine ready to go. And this has all been theater played out on the global stage in order to position vaccines as the heroes of this pandemic outbreak, which many people in West Africa believe was actually released by the U.S. Department of Defense. And I'll get into that in a minute. I know that sounds incredible. But once you hear the full facts of this case, you will be astonished. Now, just so you can do a little research while you're listening to this, go look up U.S. patent number CA, as in Charlie Alpha, 274-152-3-Alpha-1. I've linked to it from my story at naturalnews.com. That patent, by the way, is the patent for ownership of Ebola. Guess who owns the patent? The United States government. The United States government claims to own Ebola and claims to own all variants of Ebola, which share at least 70% of the same nucleotide sequences, in other words, the gene sequences, the proteins, as their patent. Now, that basically covers all Ebola everywhere that's ever been created. Now, guess when this patent was awarded? 4 years ago, the year 2010. That's when the U.S. government patented Ebola, and it was based on samples that had been bioengineered and stored at the CDC in 2007. Now, in 2014, we have an Ebola outbreak of a strain that appears to be clearly weaponized because it can't be controlled and it's spreading through airborne means of people in close proximity. It's out of control because it is a weaponized virus, many people believe, and I'll get to the scientist in Liberia, who has openly called for the citizens of Africa to revolt against the Western military forces, imperialist governments, and medical institutions, which have been conducting clinical trials, vaccine experiments, medical experiments on Africans, using them as human guinea pigs. If you'd like, search for Pfizer and vaccine trials on African babies. They killed many, many African children. And in fact, the country of Nigeria issued arrest warrants for the executives of Pfizer many years ago. I'm going to get you another story here. GlaxoSmithKline, the company that is now conducting these vaccine human trials, again, spontaneously created a vaccine ready for human trials almost overnight, just in a matter of weeks. This company, back in 2012, was fined about $100,000 by Argentina for the death of 14 babies. They died during lab vaccine trials conducted in the years 2007 and 2008. And doctors were also issued fines for that. 15,000 children have been included in the research protocol in Argentina. Yeah, 15,000 children used as human guinea pigs. Now, it's important to understand that GlaxoSmithKline is the same company that was fined, I believe it's over $2 billion by the U.S. Department of Justice for committing felony crimes of running a massive bribery network across the United States of America. You probably never heard of this, unless, of course, you're a fan of natural news, because the mainstream media rarely reports any of this truth. But in fact, GlaxoSmithKline was caught red-handed running a massive bribery network of over 40,000 doctors in the United States alone. And they bribed these doctors to keep pushing GlaxoSmithKline drugs for health conditions for which they were never approved. So a lot of this was off-label prescribing, pushing of drugs for health conditions that they were never tested for, never approved for by the FDA. And Glaxo made billions and billions of dollars doing this. I mean, tens of billions. And the fine was only $2 billion. So to them, hey, the fine is just a cost of doing business. They admitted to felony crimes. And, of course, the U.S. government allows them to keep conducting business with the government, because the government loves doing business with felony corporations. That's what GlaxoSmithKline is. And just today, in fact, there was a story about GlaxoSmithKline being fined another almost $500 million, $490 million by the authorities in China for doing what? Well, running an illegal bribery scheme across China, also bribing hospitals and doctors to keep pushing Glaxo drugs onto people who mostly don't need them. Gee, this is a company that's already been busted in the U.S. for doing exactly that. Now they're doing it in China. Now, these are the people running the Ebola vaccine trials. Yeah, imagine that. It's like, would you trust your health to a doctor who was a felon, who was a murderer? It'd be crazy to do that. But now, I guess entire nations are about to trust their public health to a corporation that knowingly commits felony crimes, bribes doctors, and has killed children. That's the reality of what we're dealing with here. Unbelievable. Now, the real revenue model of our modern world, between corporations and governments and even the military, the revenue model that dominates our so-called free market systems is to first create the problem and then sell the solution. Every major industry operates in this way. Think about the military. First, you create the problem, you create the enemy. You have the CIA fund ISIS or fund Saddam Hussein, who was, of course, completely trained and funded by the CIA. You have the America create the enemy, and then you fight the enemy. And you gain power, you gain funding. You get to run a really high-powered military, because there's always this enemy out there. It's right out of George Orwell's 1984, complete Orwellian script, if you will. Now, in the pharmaceutical industry, you do the same thing. First, you cause the problems, and then you sell the solutions. So how do you cause health problems if you're a drug company? Well, first, you have to infect people with things that give them diseases. How do you do that? Vaccines, of course. Hidden cancer viruses in the vaccines have been confirmed over and over again. We published the secret recording of Dr. Maurice Hilleman, a previous Merck virologist who openly admits to SV40 simian cancer viruses in the polio vaccines. In fact, the CDC used to openly admit that, yeah, polio vaccines were contaminated with cancer viruses, and tens of millions of people were injected with them. Actually, I think it was almost 100 million in the United States. But I think it was last year the CDC actually memory-holed that information right off their website, removed it just to erase history. Again, classic, right out of George Orwell's 1984, Ministry of Truth doing a little editing of the historical record. That's what the CDC does. So if you can vaccinate people, then you can cause a lifetime of cancer and diabetes and liver disease, all kinds of disorders that then become, well, repeat business. The pharmaceutical industry depends on repeat business for its profits, which is exactly why it never sells you a cure. There are no cures. You ever notice that? They sell you drugs for diabetes, but they're not to cure diabetes or stop diabetes. They are to, quote, manage your diabetes. That is their model. They want you to be a repeat customer. Now, if you're in the vaccine business, you just want to sell a lot of vaccines. How do you do that? Well, they learned from the swine flu epidemic, and actually from many before that, that first you got to create a panic. That's why the World Health Organization and the CDC got together and engineered a stage 6 pandemic scare story several years ago to get countries to buy billions of dollars of vaccines that most of them later had to pay even more money to have destroyed because they couldn't use them all. And if you're the CDC, how do you create a false pandemic? It's simple. It's so simple. You order all the hospitals to send you the samples from patients that they suspect might be infected with, let's say, swine flu. The CDC collects all the samples, and then the CDC simply commits scientific fraud and declares that a high percentage of those samples have bird flu or swine flu or whatever they're pushing. And that's exactly what they did. And we now know from the confession of Dr. William Thompson, longtime CDC scientist, that the CDC will openly commit scientific fraud in order to protect the vaccine industry and even to push up the profits of the vaccine industry. So the CDC has the authority and the criminal intent to pull off these massive scandals of inventing, fabricating false pandemics where there are none. And that's what they did with bird flu and swine flu. Now, Ebola may be something totally different. Ebola appears to be a real pandemic. But now we have to look at who owns the virus. It's the U.S. government. Again, the patent that I referred to earlier. And NIH and the CDC, of course, have key roles in owning or controlling the dispensing of these medicines, the treatments, and the research funds that go to companies that agree to play ball with the government. Now, the U.S. Department of Defense has bioweapons facilities set up in Africa to conduct research and testing on Ebola vaccines that have been weaponized. And, in fact, the Department of Defense uses the population of West Africa as guinea pigs in order to conduct these experiments in exactly the same way that Pfizer uses Nigerian children as human guinea pigs, or Merck or GlaxoSmithKline or any of the other companies use children of other countries as human guinea pigs. This is routine across the vaccine industry and across governments. They will always use children as human guinea pigs when they can get away with it. So I want to read for you some of the texts from Dr. Cyril Broderick, professor of plant pathology, as published on September 9th. In the Liberian Observer, the top newspaper for Liberia. The article is entitled Ebola, AIDS, Manufactured by Western Pharmaceuticals, U.S. Department of Defense. And here's what he says. He says, quote, Horowitz confirmed the existence of an American military medical industry that conducts biological weapon tests under the guise of administering vaccinations to control disease. He says, sites around Africa and West Africa have over the years been set up for testing emerging diseases, especially Ebola. He also says the World Health Organization and several other UN agencies have been implicated in selecting and enticing African countries to participate in the testing events, promoting vaccinations but pursuing various testing regimens. African leaders and African countries need to take the lead in defending babies, children, African women, African men, and the elderly. These citizens do not deserve to be used as guinea pigs. And he continues to say, Africa must not relegate the continent to become the locality for disposal and the deposition of hazardous chemicals, dangerous drugs, and chemical or biological agents of emerging diseases. There is urgent need for affirmative action in protecting the less affluent of poorer countries, especially African citizens, whose countries are not scientifically and as scientifically and industrially endowed as the United States. Sources of most viral or bacterial GMOs that are strategically designed as biological weapons, he says. It is most disturbing that the U.S. government has been operating a viral hemorrhagic fever bioterrorism research laboratory in Sierra Leone. The world must be alarmed. All Africans, Americans, Europeans, Middle Easterners, Asians, and so on should be astonished. African people, notably citizens more particularly of Liberia, Guinea, and Sierra Leone, are victimized and are dying every day. That's the end of his quote. You can see a link to that at naturalnews.com. Just search for any story about Liberia. Now, Sierra Leone, you may have recognized the name of that country. That is the country where, of course, medical martial law has been declared. The entire country has been shut down for 3 days. Every citizen in the country, all 6 million, have been ordered to be locked into their own homes, essentially at gunpoint. This is being enforced by the military. And they are not to leave their homes for 3 days. And victims of Ebola are now being hunted like fugitives in door-to-door searches. And the official cover story for this is that, quote, health volunteers are trying to go around the country distributing soap. This is their cover story. What they're actually doing is they have soldiers with guns kicking in doors and taking people away to be thrown in quarantine and ultimately killed and incinerated in ovens, because that's how they kill the Ebola virus. And the cover story is, oh, we're distributing soap. So it's all so pathetic. It's all very anti-human. A total violation of human rights is what's going on in Sierra Leone. And more and more people are waking up to the very likely possibility that this is an escaped bioweapon, that this research was being done there on purpose by the U.S. Department of Defense, using strains that were intellectually owned by the United States government, and that this is all part of something that was planned to eventually be released in order to create financial windfalls for GlaxoSmithKline, which is now magically, spontaneously conducting human trials without any research, without any plausible explanation of how they leapt to human clinical trials of a vaccine in just a matter of a few weeks. That is scientifically impossible, of course. So this is all shaping up to be quite an elaborate script, all being engineered. It's all planned in advance, of exactly how this is going to operate. Now, you may ask, why? Why would someone do this? Why would anyone release a bioweapon on purpose? Why would someone want to infect people to make money off of a vaccine? And I say to you, are you kidding me? Have you looked around the world recently? Don't you remember when Enron was making money by turning off the power to California, causing deaths of little old ladies who were dying of heat because their air conditioning didn't work, because the power plants were turned off, so that Enron could make billions of dollars on a electrical futures contracts? I mean, there is no such thing as a large corporation that has any ethics at all. Corporations are in business to make money, and that's it. In fact, they are required by their own codes of conduct, their corporate structures, to maximize profits at the expense of all else. And if a CEO doesn't do that, he or she will be fired. The truth is, they are all of these drug companies, weapons companies, pesticide manufacturers, GMO companies, biotech, they're all the same. They're all killers and murderers, and they will destroy any number of lives necessary to boost their own profits. And the best way to make money, as they've all discovered, is for them to first cause the problem and then announce the solution. You know, sell the treatment, sell the cure after they release the bioweapon that causes the pandemic. Now, at the same time this is happening, it's also achieving the population reduction goals of the globalists, people like Bill Gates, who has been, guess what, giving money to the vaccine development efforts, $50 million just recently, in fact, in order to develop an Ebola vaccine. He's the same guy who gave money to develop a technology to blast men's scrotums in Africa with ultrasound in order to cause infertility. You can look that up. I'm not making that up. It's astonishing but true. Bill Gates has been giving money far and wide to almost any organization that is working on technology to drastically reduce human population. And hey, what better way to do it than release a bioweapon? And that's what these people joke about. You know, they joke about, we should have a genetically engineered virus to cull the human population by 25%, they say. This is the way they think. This is the way they operate. So if they can make money, and I mean billions and billions of dollars from the drug companies, at the same time that they test a weaponized Ebola just to see what it will do, at the same time that they reduce human population, at the same time that they gain more authority and power at the CDC, and at the same time that they can run around declaring martial law like they did in Sierra Leone, where they lock people in their homes and have government soldiers running around with guns controlling everybody, then this is like the perfect big government solution. It's fascism gone wild. It's like the ultimate dream of corporate government fascists, the anti-human fascists who run the world today. It accomplishes all their goals at once. Make money, scare the population, declare martial law, reduce the population, you know, kill off a bunch of humans. And then, of course, have everybody in the world worship drug companies as the heroes. And you can be sure this is going to be the case. Even if the Ebola vaccine actually spreads Ebola, it will be worshipped and celebrated as the savior of humankind. And this is the thing about vaccines. They don't even have to work in order for the mainstream media to proclaim them to be amazing, miraculous medical advances. In fact, if you actually spread disease with a vaccine, then the media jumps on that story and says, wow, there's an outbreak happening here. More and more children are getting this disease. Everybody should get vaccinated, right? That's the first thing they say, even if the vaccine is causing the spread of the disease. Amazing, isn't it? And we've recently had, by the way, if you want to know how this is really going to be played out, we've recently had in Colombia, we've had young teen girls who are suffering convulsions and paralysis after receiving HPV vaccines manufactured by, I think, Merck in this case. And all these girls are suffering from these symptoms, not the boys because they didn't get the vaccine, just the girls having these symptoms. They're filling the local hospitals there in Colombia because they're falling down, they're fainting, passing out from all these symptoms. Guess what the vaccine industry is saying? Here's the official explanation from the health authorities in Colombia who represent the vaccine company interests. Here's what they're saying this is actually caused by. They say these girls are suffering from, quote, mass hysteria. Yes, they are imagining convulsions. They are imagining that they're paralyzed. They are imagining that they're passing out and falling down. And they're imagining that they need to be hospitalized. In other words, the vaccine industry is so delusional, so evil, and so criminal with its intent that it will declare you to be mentally insane rather than admit you might have been damaged by their defective, harmful vaccine. How astonishing is that? And so, when the Ebola vaccine is rolled out, as it will be, because it's all part of the script, this is elaborate theater that you are watching being played out across the global stage, when the Ebola vaccine is mandated, all those who refuse it will be quarantined at gunpoint and declared to be crazy people or religious people, who will be condemned, of course, by this. Anyone who resists the vaccine will be condemned. And then anybody who takes the vaccine and then shows toxic effects, such as maybe, I don't know, getting Ebola, those people will be called mentally ill and thrown into the psychiatric institutions and the mental wards. Because, of course, vaccines have to be perfect, right? They're created by our modern-day gods, the scientists of the vaccine companies, who are infallible and perfect in every possible way. Therefore, they can never make any mistake, and they could never have a nefarious intent. They could never cause harm to anyone. No, of course not. So if anyone claims to be harmed by vaccines, well, they must be mentally ill. They must be suffering from psychological problems. And guess what? There's a drug for that. Yeah, there's a drug for that. So if you refuse the vaccine, you're arrested. If you take the vaccine and you get injured, you're mentally ill. Is this starting to sound like Catch-22 or 1984, George Orwell? Is this starting to sound like you're living in La La Land, a total insane medical dictatorship? Because that's where we are. That is exactly what we're living in today. And if we aren't careful, we will all become victims of this massive medical dictatorship with its agenda of global human depopulation, the weaponization of infectious diseases, and the fear-mongering of every pandemic, and then the generation of massive profits as they are poisoning people and killing people. This is the insanity of our modern world. This is what is happening right under our noses. And this explains why the people in West Africa are attacking the so-called healthcare workers and actually killing them. I think there were 7 or 8 healthcare workers who were attacked and mobbed and killed a couple of days ago in one of the countries there. I think it was Guinea. And the Western media can't understand this. Well, like, my God, these angelic healthcare workers are only coming to help. They just want to educate people and save lives. No. It was probably a bunch of soldiers and Department of Defense virologists carrying vials of Ebola that they were going to infect into local children as part of their experiments. And the locals got pissed off and said, enough is enough. And we deserve some self-defense. And they probably acted out in a sense of self-defense and self-preservation to protect their families from being infected by these weaponized Ebola strains. That's probably what's going on. Now, since I'm not in West Africa, I can't say firsthand that that's exactly what's going on. But knowing how the Western media lies and distorts and fabricates, especially when it comes to vaccines, this is probably almost certainly what is actually happening. Why did Obama send 3,000 U.S. soldiers there? You can't fight viruses with bullets. But you know what you can do with soldiers? You can kick in doors. You can kidnap people. You can attack anyone who might have even an idea of self-defense. You can stop any resistance to your pandemic imperialism, your biological human guinea pig trials that you're running there on poor West African children. Because, you know, it's far from America. American press isn't there. You know, they can't see the atrocities that are taking place. So that's why they chose Africa. Now, I've got to cover the patent aspect of this. Now, this is absolutely crucial. So the United States government claims to own Ebola as a matter of intellectual property. Now, when they own Ebola, they can prevent anyone else from conducting any kind of medical research for treatments or cures on Ebola. They can do that simply by invoking patent law. And in fact, remember the BRCA1 gene situation, you know, the breast cancer gene? And how that went to the U.S. Supreme Court. A company had patented that gene in the human body and said that no one else could conduct any diagnostic testing whatsoever on the BRCA genes for breast cancer. And Angelina Jolie was kind of caught up in all of this, had a double mastectomy, I believe, to, quote, prevent cancer, because she had this gene. And so this went to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court ruled that you couldn't patent a human gene, which was a huge shock to the entire industry because 20% of the human genome had already been patented. In other words, corporations, universities, and governments own your body because they own the genetic code in every cell that's in your body. So the U.S. Supreme Court, well, they shut that down in a surprising decision, but they actually strengthened the protections of patenting genes for viruses, bacteria, pathogens, animals, plants, other things like that. So the United States government now claims to own the Ebola patent. In addition, they claim that they own every variant of Ebola, which has 70% of the same genetic material, the same protein sequences, basically. So that's every strain of Ebola in the world is now claimed to be owned by the United States. And furthermore, the U.S., if you read the patent yourself, and I gave the patent number earlier in this audio, so you can look it up, the government claims to own every weakened viral strain or killed viral strain of Ebola, which means they own, or they claim to own, the patent on every vaccine that could ever be created for Ebola. Amazing, isn't it? Now, because they own the patent on this protein sequence, they also own it when it's in your body. So if you are, in fact, infected with Ebola, you are now technically government property because the Ebola circulating in your blood is owned, intellectually owned, by the United States government as protected by the monopoly granted by the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office. Remember, patents are monopolies. Patents are government-sanctioned monopolies. That is their entire function. That's what patents are. They're government-protected monopolies over intellectual property. So now you know why they went and they got Dr. Kent Brantley out of Africa and moved him to the CDC at Emory University in Atlanta. Why did they retrieve him? To save his life? No. They haven't retrieved all the other doctors. Why did they retrieve him? Because he was the first one to have been replicating this intellectual property in his body who was an American. So they got him so that they could take his blood and add it to their database of intellectual property and use it for bioweapons research, use it for pharmaceutical research, vaccine research, any kind of R&D that they could make money from or gain power from. They used his body and his blood to do that. Now, they didn't have to kill him in order to accomplish that, which is the only reason why he's alive today. If they had to kill him to take his blood, believe me, he'd be dead and they'd say he died of Ebola. But they didn't have to kill him. They just took his blood, let him live, and now he's alive today, thank God. But now his blood is part of the database. It's part of the CDC database of Ebola strains. It's part of the Department of Defense database. It's part of the weaponization research that continues to go on right now into weaponizing Ebola and using African children as human guinea pigs to run these experiments and find out what happens. Now, continuing this line of legal reasoning over patents and genes, you must understand that when you are infected with Ebola, now your blood also becomes the property of the United States government under current U.S. law. Now, you might think, well, that's ridiculous. No one could argue that. Believe me, lawyers argue this all day long in the court system, especially patent lawyers and even so-called patent trolls. They will argue anything. They will argue the craziest things you've ever heard. Like they've argued things like, oh, well, my client owns the patent on the purchase button on a web page. Thus, every online retailer has to pay us a royalty. I mean, they've actually argued that. So these people will try to argue anything. But one of the arguments that's going to happen right now or soon is that everybody who's infected with Ebola is now, their blood is the property of the United States government. Now, I want you to understand this very carefully. When you are a host to a virus like Ebola, that virus is doing what in your body? It is replicating. It is replicating. You are providing the environment, the host site, for the replication of the virus. Now, that, according to the U.S. Patent Office, is an act of piracy. You are violating U.S. law because the virus in your body is copying itself. And these patent attorneys would say this is just like copying a movie from the internet or downloading music, sharing music with your friends. You're committing piracy. You're violating the patent laws of the United States and stealing from the government. This is what they would argue. I know it sounds ridiculous, but again, they will argue anything. The reason I mention that is because this provides the legal pretext for the U.S. government to engage in quarantines and the kidnapping of any citizen who has Ebola circulating in their body. They can say that because you are now holding U.S. government property in your body, we must now take you away, isolate you, quarantine you, or you are now essentially government property. Now, they may not even need that justification because they already have the executive orders on the books to quarantine you against your will. Just if you're symptomatic, if you sneeze or cough or you have a fever, they can quarantine you under that executive order signed by Obama in the summer of 2014. But they can strengthen that through this intellectual property argument. And I want you to understand that the sweeping claims of this patent allow the government to own not only everybody's blood who is infected with Ebola, but to also own all diagnosis technologies. So if anyone creates a way to detect Ebola, that could be blocked by the U.S. government. They own every treatment for Ebola that might involve some Ebola proteins, such as, of course, vaccines. And in addition, they own and can therefore block and control all research on Ebola treatments or cures. So for example, if someone out there wanted to say, why don't we test colloidal silver versus Ebola to see if colloidal silver might kill Ebola virus? The mere act of conducting that test could get you arrested by the federal government because you are now engaged in piracy of their intellectual property, which is the Ebola virus. You would have to get government permission to use their intellectual property in your research. Do you understand how this works? I know the mainstream media doesn't cover this because it's too complex for CNN. You know, it's too complex for MSNBC, which has an even lower average IQ viewer. So this is not the kind of thing you're going to get in the mainstream media, but you have to understand how these patents, these medical procedures really, really work. You have to have permission from the government to even test Ebola against some other medicine. Even if you're fully qualified and maybe you're a naturopathic doctor, maybe you're a world-class researcher, maybe you're a Nobel Prize-winning scientist, you still can't do it because the government owns the patent. I have no doubt that this state of affairs, this patent, will be used to block any research into natural treatments or cures for all the reasons I've mentioned here, which is that this pandemic is designed to create a massive windfall of profits for the pharmaceutical industry. And I think that there are elements within world government that absolutely want this to continue to break out of control and to serve as a population reduction kind of operation, human clean sweep or something. They literally want to reduce the world population by, well, Bill Gates says 10 to 15%. Others say 90%. I'm sure these globalists would be happy just to achieve 25% fatality rate across the world. That's, you know, almost 2 billion people right there. I think they'd be pretty happy with that because that's the way they roll. They just want to reduce the numbers. So achieving that, though, will require blocking natural cures, natural treatments, and of course, any websites that promote natural treatments and cures, such as this website right here. So you can fully expect that this will all be taken offline. If there's a national emergency declared in America, you can expect this website will be gone. And the day that you try to access it and it's gone, you know they're coming. They're going to kick in your door. They're going to look for Ebola victims in your household. And anyone who's symptomatic is going to be taken away and probably never heard from again. That is exactly what they're doing in Sierra Leone right now, right this very minute. As I record this, they are doing that in Sierra Leone. So this isn't a theory. This isn't conjecture. This is actually what is happening right now in Africa under the guidance of the United States and the United Nations and the World Health Organization and the CDC. Don't you think for a minute that they won't use these same tactics in the United States if the outbreak begins to spread in America? So I hope I've given you a lot to think about here, and I actively encourage you to research everything that I've said here. I know that to someone who's new to this information, some of this sounds incredible. Some of it sounds just, wow, wild. So I encourage you, do a search on everything I've said here. Look at the history of Pfizer and children in Nigeria. Look at the history of GlaxoSmithKline in Argentina. Look at the history of medical experiments conducted by the vaccine industry, conducted by the Department of Defense. Go to my website, naturalnews.com, search for the history of human medical experiments. You will get a massive, detailed list year by year of all the medical experiments that have been conducted on human beings by the U.S. military, the U.S. government, and the pharmaceutical industry, and it will blow your mind. Because you've probably never seen this anywhere else. Because history has been suppressed. And don't even trust Wikipedia. Wikipedia is an absolute joke. They censor everything negative about vaccines or pharmaceuticals or scientists. And all they do is they push deadly vaccines, pesticides, GMOs, toxic chemicals. That website has lost all credibility. It's nothing more than a cover front for the vaccine pushers and GMO pushers and pharmaceutical pushers and basically all the chemical poisoners who are destroying humanity. So don't trust Wikipedia, but do your research on other independent sites that aren't run by paid pharmaceutical trolls, and you'll begin to get the actual truth. And of course, spread the word about this website, biodefense.com. This is where you're going to get the truth. Biodefense.com and naturalnews.com. I've also linked to some other alternative independent news sources that you can check out. There are several out there who are doing a great job reporting on this, like Dave Hodges at the Common Sense Show, Steve Quayle at True Stream Media with Aaron Dykes, Melissa Melton, John Rappaport at No More Fake News. Quite a few that have mentioned that are doing some outstanding reporting, so be sure to check those out as well. And thanks for listening. My name is Mike Adams, the Health Ranger with naturalnews.com and biodefense.com.